Let's get an Alberta representative on the show. Here's our buddy Craig.
Well, listen, that Edmonton promo tape had parts of Calgary and Jasper and who knows. So it probably had Craig's backyard in the promo tape. So he might as well let us in on the story.
Yeah, go ahead. Speak for your province, Craig. How do you feel about that, Edmonton being a hub?
Hey, I've been here for 20 years. Somewhere along the line, they're going to have to give me Alberta citizenship at some point in time. But I'll tell you what, these Westerners, they don't just hand out citizenship easily. You got to go through a lot of different exams and pass a lot of tests. But Edmonton's one of the, has been Alberta and BC, as we well know. Canada, let's just start in Canada. Canada has been an outstanding model. Now, we know that there's been some different cities and provinces that have had greater challenges, but Alberta has been excellent. They really have, you know, through their phases, you know, handling things, testing available to all citizens. So, you know, when you're trying to create an environment, a bubble, that minimizes risk to the greatest extent possible, knowing that there's not every certainty covered off. I mean, the players want to be in those spots if they're going to play. They don't want to be in high-risk spots. I mean, think about Dallas was a hub city candidate at one point in time. You think players are going to Texas? You know, you know Vegas now is falling out for the city, and they should fall out. I mean, it's rapidly rising and spreading. If you're a player, why do you want to be in those places? And I think the NHL, I said this in the outset, I love the fact that the NHL, you know, waited. They didn't, you know, lock into a city. They said, we're going to continue to evaluate and continue to evaluate. And I think that that's where you find yourself going into July. And, you know, you look at Alberta, that's done a really good job. Toronto has just opened up, but Ontario seems to have things in order, and, you know, you hope they stay on the same lines. But if you're going to have a return to play, the players need to know and have confidence that where they're going to play minimizes risk to the greatest extent possible.
Craig, you've been around the NHL offices, you've been in the board meetings and GM meetings and all those different things. How much pressure would there be on the league at a league level to have one city in the States just to kind of balance out the representation of clubs in the NHL?
All things being equal, I think that there's no question they would like to have it balanced, Mike. And, you know, not just to represent, you know, where 24 teams are in the NHL, but also their broadcast agreement with NBC. So, you know, they would like to make sure that they can, you know, provide an environment for NBC. You know, hey, essential travel is not allowed between the borders right now. So I think in an ideal scenario, that's the one that would work the best. But as we've seen, the virus doesn't operate under ideal circumstances. It has a mind of its own, and, you know, that's why the league has to adapt. But the pressures would be significant, Mike. And you know that, and Brian, you know that as well, as they should be. But because of where we're at, you know, you can have an ideal situation, but ultimately you have to go to the ideal. And if the safest environment is two cities in Canada, then... And remember, this is collaborative with the Players Association. It's not like you can shoehorn it in and say, yeah, well, we're going to Vegas as a team. You know, you might not get the cooperation from the players, and that could cause even a bigger problem.
We're chatting with Craig Button. So MJ and I had this discussion yesterday coming off the weekend and the draft lottery where it's still yet to be determined who's going to have that top pick. 16 teams still technically in the running. And we believe Lafreniere will go first overall. And I kind of felt for him, I'm sure it was deflating on Friday night, because he's like, where am I going? Am I going to Detroit, Ottawa, Buffalo? Who's going to take me? And at this point, he doesn't know. But we kind of differed in our opinion in terms of whether or not that was a good thing for Lafreniere. And you know him better than we do. You've scouted him. You've been around him. Do you get the impression, like, would he have been kind of salivating by the idea of being the man? Like, let's say Detroit got that pick. He's the king. He walks in. He's the number one guy. He's the number one prospect. Or do you think he would maybe prefer a team like Pittsburgh or Toronto to win it? He steps right in, and he's got a chance of winning a cup maybe in his rookie season.
Well, here's what I'll tell you about Alexis. He was the first overall pick to Rimouski, who were a very bad team. So, you know, being the first overall pick and understanding that you're going into whatever the situation is, I mean, Alexi's not going to, you know, you know, be hesitant about doing that. He'll embrace it and do it. But, you know, every player is competing to win and to win championships and to be the best they possibly can be. I can tell you this, in his first year as a rookie in the Quebec League, I mean, Rimouski just rose right up in the standings. And they got upset in the first round of the playoffs. And Alexi came over and played at the U18. But he was disappointed because of, you know, he had high hopes for that team and everything that it meant for his team. And so he was disappointed. So if you have a choice and you're young, he's going to be the first pick. I don't doubt that at all. But if you have a choice to go to a team right off the bat that, you know, offers you a chance to compete for a Stanley Cup a lot sooner potentially than not, I don't know why a player wouldn't embrace that and wouldn't be excited about that opportunity. And if it just happens to be alongside a Sidney Crosby or, you know, like Connor McDavid, Edmonton isn't in the same place as the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm just picking the teams that are fifth by points percentage going into this play-in round. That's not a bad option for Alexis Lafreniere. I don't know why you wouldn't embrace that every bit as much as going into a new situation, because Lafreniere is a star.
That's right, Hayes, just as I said yesterday. Exactly how I read the situation yesterday. Yeah, okay, thank you very much, Craig. I feel vindicated and validated. I appreciate it. What about the draft lottery in its entirety? Not just where Lafreniere might end up, but just the fact that team placeholder H, whatever it was, has the first overall pick. Were you? I'm okay with that. I don't mind it at all. I think it was great theater and will provide for more theater and also give a carrot for the teams that may get eliminated in the play-in round, a team like Pittsburgh or Edmonton that would have otherwise gone to the playoffs. How do you feel about the way that the NHL did it, where they had the lottery when they did and an unknown team has the first overall pick?
Well, you know, a couple of things is that if you go back the last three lotteries, you know, there should be really no surprise, because in four instances, a team picking lower than seventh, you know, moved into the top three. Philadelphia, 13-2. Dallas, 8-3. Carolina, 11-2. And last year, Chicago, 12-3. Which is exactly why the GMs put in the second phase. They understood what it was. And be very clear on this from my point of view. All the GMs were part and parcel of the lottery. And Mike, we talk about the NHL and everything. GMs become myopic, and they start to think about only their situation. Then they start to think, oh, God, Pittsburgh could win it. Well, we just can't have them win one lottery. They're going to have to win two lotteries. And that's how it got introduced. You know, you talk about theater. There was theater. You know, it would be nice, I guess, for Alexis Lafreniere to know, you know, where he'd be going. And I guess if anything, if you wanted to look at the lottery and say, maybe the NHL could have just waited until after the play-in round was completed. But I understand that you're trying to, you know, use your an opportunity to try to, you know, be relevant. And I get that. But, you know, there was a lot of ideas thrown about. There was a lot of ideas that were developed that led to the lottery. And you're right. I mean, placeholder Team E gets the pick. I mean, I'm fascinated now to hear, well, if there's no play-in round and the season doesn't complete it, you know, the Winnipeg Jets, because they were a bit in that spot, should get the pick. Well, that's not the way it's going to work. The 12 team, the eight teams that by points percentage fall into 8 to 15 will go in the lottery with an equal chance of 12.5% to win it. But
yeah, and listen, those aren't terrible odds. I mean, that's a pretty good consolation prize. I think all the players are going to want to win, I hope, you know, when they get there. I'm a little bit concerned about whether or not they can get the engines revved up. Like, once they actually get on the ice and play game one, is it truly going to feel like game one in a conventional season? I'm not sure that it will. But we had that discussion also earlier, Craig, about this opportunity for a team like the one in Toronto, where they're young, I hope they're hungry. They've been paid. This is an opportunity for them to show up and be motivated, and be prepared, and be in shape, and take on a challenge in Columbus, and go on a run. And maybe Philly's waiting for you in the second round. They can beat Philly, right? Like, before you know it, you're through a couple of rounds and you're feeling good about yourself. Go chase a cup. But if they show up and they're not in the mood, or they're not prepared, or they're not in shape, that's going to be a bad look. for Toronto. It'd be a bad look for any team. Because if you're going to play, go play.
Yep. Well, I think that that's the key phrase there, is if you're going to play, go and play. And I think once the puck drops and the players start participating in the competition, and the key word is the competition, that they'll be competing. I mean, they're not worried about getting a chance at the first overall pick. They are, you know, and you know, it could be experience. To your point, you know, you win, you go through the grind. It's obviously different than what any other player has ever gone through in the course of their NHL careers. So this is an experience that is unique, that can offer you, you know, benefits that we don't even know yet. But you're right. Get in there. Dig in. Be part of it and see where it takes you. You know, invest yourself. If you're going to be away from your family and you're going to be in the bubble and you're going to be isolated, I mean, your focus now can be, hey, listen, I just get to play hockey. And, Mike, you know, in the playoffs, you know, the focus is always there with, like normal situations, because you're just so zeroed in. It's play, day off, get ready for the next game, and the focus is there. You know, I think it'll be the same here, but you're right. With a young team that's been paid, you know, you've got a real opportunity to build that experience of not only – you know, taking advantage potentially, but learning and growing from it.
Craig, we've talked about the pressure on the players, whether it's Austin Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, Riley, whoever it is, Freddie Anderson for sure, because he's going to face a lot as the goalie. But how about the pressure potentially on Sheldon Keefe? Going up against John Tortorella, a coach who really knows how to win, did a great job last year on an upset in the playoffs. To have your team at that point, at that emotional and physical level, where you need to get to be successful in the playoffs. How much pressure do you think there will be on Sheldon Keefe to get the team in the right frame of mind before they start?
You know, Mike, it's really fascinating. I'm going to share a story with you in a second. But, like, you know, one of the things that, with this new kind of landscape, I'm interested to see what coaches also, you know, try to throw in some wrinkles. And, you know, is there going to be a Philadelphia special type situation presented, you know, that keeps teams off balance? And now that's the creative side. Now, to your question about Sheldon, I think that's a really important thing, because getting that emotional level up, getting that mindset to the point where, you know, it's every single second of every single shift, how you got to play. And I remember Jim Playfair telling me that when he came in as an assistant with Daryl Sutter, that, you know, he had won an American Hockey League championship, and he had an understanding, and he said, watching Daryl work with the NHL players, and he called it the push. He said, whoa, he goes, there was a lot of things I didn't realize. And he said he really benefited from watching Daryl, you know, provide that push and provide that day in, day out, the words, the demands, the encouragement, whatever it was, you know. So I think that that's something that Sheldon has never been through. And it's something that, you know, you start to think of his assistant coaches, who can help him with that. But the lead guy has to be that guy to get in there and, you know, keep people's attention and know that that mindset and that emotional level is so key to success in the playoffs.
Always great catching up with you, buddy. Have a great Canada Day tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Have a great day. Happy Canada Day.
There he is, Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst.